Aloha. Top of the hour, 4:02 Kauai Soapbox. And another great show by these guys. What the ever-evolving name of the show, what is it now?
You know, it's a variety show.
It used to be the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show.
Yeah, now it's a variety show.
It's just a variety show, like with Carol, what was her name? Remember the she used to have that variety show? Carol Burnett.
Oh, yeah. I never.
Yeah, you're too young,
yes,
yeah.
I am.
What are you, like 33?
Almost.
How old are you?
43.
Oh, you liar. I'm 53. Liar. Anyway, Kauai Soapbox, 808-826-7771. It's a live call-in show. My co-host, Eric Cannon, will be here in moments. And phone lines are open. You can talk about anything you want. And aloha to all the people in Montana listening online right now. We're trying to figure that out. What's happening in Montana that we don't know about that we should? For that matter, what's happening on Kauai that we don't know about that the variety show, Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show guys didn't talk about? We want to know what's happening. The dairy, I hear, is opening a little bit smaller, full-page letter in the newspaper. I'm going to have to read that. But anything you want to talk about, we're going to do. We've got a little bit of station underwriting, and we'll be back after this. Of course, we also have to do our disclaimer, which distances the structure of this beast from any litigation, so you can feel free to call in uncensored, live, and unscripted. We'll be back after this.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
The 2014 Kauai Music Festival Concert Series is coming to the Courtyard Marriott Resort in Kapa'a. On Friday, August 1st at 7 p.m. is the Po'alima Concert featuring Hot Shell Ray, Merlin Hookman Bonds, Mark Feist, Richard Harris, and more. On Saturday, August 2nd at 7 p.m. is the Pauhana Concert featuring Hawaiian favorites Eric Gilliam, Pandanus Club, John Cruz, and many more. Tickets and outlet locations online at kauaimusicfestival.com. The nonprofit Kauai Music Festival is sponsored in part by Hawaiian Airlines, Alaska Airlines, the Hawaii Tourism Authority, and the County of Kauai.
During July, active sonar is being used during RIMPAC war games held in our beautiful Hawaiian waters. This sonar is up to 10,000 times louder than a 747 taking off, which can cause hemorrhaging in the brain and organs, deafness, and stress, all potentially leading to premature death. The Navy also has permits to harm marine mammals using sonar up to 33 million times across the Pacific from here to California over the next 5 years. This is equal to 2,000 deaths of whales and dolphins, 16,000 with permanent hearing loss, and over 5 million cetaceans with temporary hearing loss per year. A deaf whale is a dead whale. To learn more, contact Kohola Leo at 639-3289 or visit whalevoice.org. Be a voice for the oceans.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
So, for the next almost 2 hours, phone lines are open. Anything you want to talk about, from your lovely teenagers to your lovely politicians to your lovely next-door neighbors to the whales in the bay. Driving by in a truck. It's not often you see a whale driving by in a pickup truck, but we did a couple days ago, wondering. We'll find out what that's all about soon enough, whether it was RIMPAC on the left or natural causes on the right. Who knows? But the phone lines are open, and we have 44 online listeners right now. And if you're listening anywhere in the country that gets streaming internet, you can dial us toll-free if you'd like to join the conversation at 866-275-1112. And we're going to start taking phone calls right now. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, calling to announce an event, if I may.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, this is tomorrow, and this is at the Kapala Public Library at 6 p.m. We're going to show a documentary film. It's called Unmanned America's Drone Wars. This is the most recent film from Brave New Foundation Films. Director Robert Greenwald goes to remote Pakistani tribal areas, interviews residents there who have suffered the effects of drone strikes, who live under the drones. He interviews a former American drone operator, plus CIA and State Department officials, military officers. This is a free event, and again, Unmanned America's Drone Wars. It's a little over an hour, and after we invite discussion, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow, Kapaa Public Library.
It's a free event, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Fantastic. Boy, that's going to be interesting. I might try to get out there myself.
Hope to see you there.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. And it is the future, so we've got to make sure we're involved in that future as the civilians of this country that supposedly our wonderful military is all fighting for the very freedoms that we might be losing if we're not paying attention.
Well, so. I believe you spoke of RIMPAC, and they've got drones flying around for RIMPAC.
Yeah.
Lots of folks here on the island have seen them.
All right. Well, we can't argue with technology necessarily, but we can sure participate and make sure it's heading in the right direction that we want it to. And I think by design, we're often invited out of the conversation instead of in it. So I appreciate people that do things like documentaries and free events like this one tomorrow at Kapaa Library, 6 o'clock, dealing with drones and Pakistan, I guess.
Hope to see everyone there.
All right. Aloha. Thank you, caller.
Aloha.
All right. Aloha, Eric. How are you doing? Let's find out which one you're on here. Just try that one. Nope. Let's try that one. Nope. Let's try that one.
Yep.
The magic. All right.
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day, and we got another caller waiting to go on the air.
All right.
Nope.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Aloha. How you doing?
You know, who's going to do the autopsy on that whale? Because I hope it's an independent autopsy, because we might not be told the truth about how it died. But I wanted to ask you, Carlos, if you know, I mean, the city council denied all those signatures to amend the bill.
Mm-hmm.
After they first got they signed the wrong petition, all these 4,000 people, and I basically consider that the county's fault by giving Kauai Rising the wrong form to fill out. And so when they had to scramble for 3 weeks to get another like 3,000 signatures on that purple piece of paper, the city council, some of the members, they go, oh, we don't want it. We don't accept this, and we don't have to give you a reason why. And I'm outraged by it. I wonder if anybody from Kauai Rising could tell us anything about why they wouldn't accept that amend the bill.
You know, I'm not exactly sure that it was the county council, not city council, but county council, but it was definitely some entity, and I'm sure somebody that's very smart will call in and let us know. Interesting, there's two levels of stuff happening above that. At the state federal level, you've got I don't even know what's happening, there's a name for it, but then on the national international level, you have the Trans-Pacific Partnership, both of which are threatening any of the freedoms or clarifications that would have come through that bill. So it's real interesting what's going on. It might all be coincidence, but it sure doesn't seem like it sometimes.
Well, you're right. It's not coincidence. It's all about the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah.
Same relationship to why they want Hawaiians to be Native American Indians. I mean, anyways, I hope someone can sue the county for that, even though they don't have any money. And I feel sorry for people that property taxes are going to skyrocket because the county budget is so poorly handled. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, caller. Very interesting. I know I did before I turned the show over to Felicia last year, almost a year and a half ago, actually, now, I'd done it for about 15 years. And it's very interesting. It's very easy to get polarized and point fingers and play blame or gotcha or whatever. But I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if something bigger is happening, even bigger than that. It's I don't know. I've come to believe that the process is as important as the outcome of what's happening. It's how we deal with it. So very interesting. 826-7771. We have open phone lines. I don't know. Anything catching your eye lately, Eric, in the news, locally, nationally, internationally?
Well, other than war on the other side of the ocean, but that's always saddening to hear.
The Middle East, Ukraine, yeah. Which one? Yeah.
Gaza, yeah. War in Gaza Strip. On yeah. A couple more callers, though.
All right. 826-7771, and I think you can just throw them right on the air. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air, and we're going to give you about up to 2 minutes, and then if nobody else is calling in, we'll continue. Otherwise, we'll give you a signal and keep it moving fast.
Okay. It's kind of a call about the whales. I'm really kind of concerned about that, but I'm wondering, being that we're mammals, and we're swimming around in that water, too, or even scuba divers out in the water there, there's no warning for us, right? I mean, are our eardrums going to be affected by these things by being in the water as well? I called the dive shops, and they said, we don't know.
You know, I that's a good question. I don't think so, but I would say that's an assumption, really, rather than actual knowledge on my part.
How could it not?
Well, the sensitivity of our hearing is nothing like the marine mammals. I know that, and it might be happening on a whole different frequency that we can't even pick up, but maybe we've got some smart listeners out there who would know if there would be any human impact. That's very interesting.
And nobody's ever talked about it or anything like that. I find it curious, too, that the federal government is pushing for the marine sanctuary over there the whole time, and you know how they're caring about our whales and our fish and our sea life and everything, and then they're going to conduct these mock wars out there in the water? That's just kind of contradictory, I figure.
Well, you know, sometimes sanctuaries, you know, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, and sometimes a sanctuary is just a sanctuary, and then other times a sanctuary is a way to create a massive buffer or boundary around areas that governments or entities don't want other people. I had a friend actually who got arrested for taking a picture on the side of the road down in the Hanalei Marine wetland sanctuary. He was just literally right there taking a picture, and he got arrested because it's very interesting. Sometimes you have to wonder.
For taking a picture of what?
Well, he was taking a picture, but it was a protected wildlife area, and he'd stepped off the road. But it was not a sensitive place, and it's just interesting. And I wonder about that marine sanctuary. It's a way to create a gigantic, controlled area that you can control the access to. So,
taking the rights of the fishermen away and the local people from gathering food in those areas so that they can have their
interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. But, you know, the last caller called in and, you know, was talking about Washington or local politics, and we are Washington. We are our local politics. We're all of it. You know, it's just a matter of how much we want to participate and jump in the ring and, you know, rumble. So thank goodness there's people out there that want to.
You know, it is not exactly the ring isn't. The wrestlers aren't apples and oranges. We got the federal government can override what we come up with on the county level.
They can override. They've got deep pockets. It's very vague and ambiguous sometimes, the interpretation of the laws. Yeah. So,
And I've been. I agree with the other caller too that it won't be an unbiased autopsy on that whale. We'll probably never hear about it.
You know, I've thought about that a lot because even if you wanted to do water samples, the way they have it now, you cannot maintain possession of any sample. You yourself would be taking over to the mainland because you'd have to put it through your luggage. And so you lose that chain of possession. It's really interesting. I hope we have a local necroscopy. I don't know what that's called. What do you call that when an animal dies? Necroscopy, something like that. But anyway, autopsy on the whale to find out what the death was caused by. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, I sure hope we do have somebody who'll look into it. I mean, what are they doing? They got this thing on ice or something? They must have done it already because it would be stinking like really bad, you know, wherever it is.
Yeah.
And I saw that thing coming through Honolulu. It was a big animal.
Yeah, it was big.
Yeah.
Very big. Huh. All right, caller. Thank you very much.
All right.
Much.
I hope somebody called in and add to that.
Yeah, see if we get some interest on that one. 826-7771. And whenever we're talking about a subject, it's your show, so feel free to call in and change the subject all over the place. Unless it's a guest or something that's a little more special or scripted, We're more than willing, Eric and I both, to just jump from topic to topic. Go ahead, caller. Oh, I think we lost them. Go ahead. You're on the air?
Yes.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. I'm glad I got on. I want to pose a question to you and then give you the answer.
Are you from – you call from the mainland a lot, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? God, your voice sounds like someone that calls up that was calling up about the guns at Sports Authority.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, I apologize. So what's your question? And
okay,
then
the question is, if your best friend lived on another block from you and the guy on the other block from him was shooting mud balls at you, at him, and he decided then to go over and bomb that street and kill all the women and children in the process, would you, as a friend, tell your best friend he's going over the top and to stop? Yes, of course you would. Anyone would, because if you're a real friend to somebody, you tell your friends the truth, because they need to know the truth. And we are claiming, our government is claiming, that Israel is our best friend, and yet, and therefore we're backing them. And it's BS, as far as I'm concerned. Israel is over the top in the amount of people they're killing in this war. And for our government to send Susan Rice to some dinner last night and make big pronouncements on how we are such great pals and we back the Israelis no matter what, that's crazy. I mean, I love the Jewish people, but I do not love seeing women and children murdered in the streets and their homes bombed, and I don't think most people in this country do. And I can't understand why the people in the government can't speak out and say something, except possibly that they're in the pockets of the some Israeli lobby or what's his name? Who's that guy? Adelson or something. But it's really disturbing.
Yeah, I was gonna assume you were making a metaphor about Gaza and Israel. It's very interesting. I've had frustration over the years. I have Jewish relatives in my family, very, very close. It's interesting. You can't talk about a country's politics without having that entangled up with the religion or culture of that same country, and there really is something to that. We're not, if we talk about that, we're anti-Semitic, and
that's,
you know, that's
true,
of
though.
Course
I'm
it's
not anti-Semitic.
Yeah, of course, but it's
yeah,
it's,
but that,
it's
but that's
by design.
What,
so, but
yeah.
Here we are. So you had the guts to call up and share your feelings, and you're, you know, I've noticed that because I follow the news. Though there's been maybe 10 or 15 Israeli deaths in this latest attack, and we're either approaching or over 1,000, primarily civilians.
1,200.
Oh, now it's 12. That was yesterday.
Civilians.
So
8,000, over 8,000 people have been injured in that country, and they destroyed over 1,000 homes.
I like the way you posed the question at the beginning, though.
Yeah.
You said if it's your friend, and I think we have an obligation to be real with our friends, and I think that's what you're implying.
That's what I think, too.
And it just seems a little out of balance, too. And, boy, you know, the way things are, I kind of watch it, and I just find it fascinating that we have situational ethics with countries as well as individuals. So.
Well, and also, remember, in the last 3 weeks, 3 weeks ago, they shot down this plane in Ukraine, and that's a horrible thing. 300 people were dead. Well, on my God in heaven, everybody and his uncle is having a heart attack all around the world. They're going to put sanctions on Russia, da-da-da-da. It's in the news every day. But 1,200 Palestinians have been murdered in the streets. Hello? You know, what? There's no outrage about that. These are women and children being bombed to death.
I think people really don't know how to allow themselves to feel whatever they're feeling about what happens in Israel, because we've got a religious connection. Of course, you know, according to Christianity, they are the chosen people, etc. You have a very powerful political connection, and you have media connections. So we are delivered a lot of information, and most of us in the country are good people, not racist, not anti-Semitic or anything, but there really is a fear by a lot of people about talking candidly and freely about the politics of a country, and we're confusing it with the race and culture of a people.
Absolutely right.
So it's you're spot on in that you're very confused, and you know I'm not confused.
I think the government's a little bit confused, because and you know and their idea of friendship is definitely not my idea of friendship. Because if I have a best friend and they're really messing up, I let them know right in a hurry. Because I love my friends and I'm not going to let them mess up and I'm not going to let them kill other people.
Well, one thing we don't see is a lot of the protests in Israel against what's happening in Gaza.
There is protest.
There's massive protests, and we don't see that either. It's just
no, and we don't get the whole story. I mean, we don't get the whole story on the in news. And it is true. Listen, we all feel sorrowful about the Holocaust that occurred with the Jews in Germany. Believe me, that's the most horrible thing. But do they have to repeat it now, this government of theirs, by murdering and interning a group of people in a little area, not allowing them to have goods and services, and bombing them because they're reacting? And it's not them that's reacting, the children and the mothers. It's a political group who wants to fight against the oppression. You know, I mean, there's no discussion of what's going on there. And certainly everybody appalls the Holocaust. But we don't want to see another kind of a Holocaust committed by people who are vengeful war hawks. No, I'm sorry. That's not acceptable.
Well, I want to salute you for having the guts to call in and get real, whatever the topic is. And this is probably one of the most delicate and dangerous topics for anyone in this country to call in or write in or jump on a news show and really get real, because you know it's we're really not encouraged to do that. So we really don't have an open conversation.
Well, I encourage everybody to get in touch with the president at 202-456-1111 or to Speaker John Boehner at 202-225-6205 or Senator Harry Reid at 202-224-3542. These are government leaders. Let them know if you don't like what's going on, and let them know you don't want your tax dollars going for the bombing of women and children.
Yeah, well,
and that's all I have to say. Goodbye.
That's quite a lot. Thank you. All right, caller. All right, 826-7771. Yeah, probably one of the biggest white elephants in the room, and very little exposure on the television to even have a discussion, a wide-ranging discussion from all sides. Do you have another caller for us?
I sure do.
All right, go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Joe Reardon, and the young lady that was on there just now. Think about this, darling. If you're sitting in your backyard and somebody starts throwing bullets and bombs at you, what are you going to do? The Israeli army is not murdering anybody, nor is the Israeli people. They are defending themselves. You lambhead. God bless Israel.
Who are you calling lambheads?
I think he was talking about the last caller, but
So that's there. It is right there. I mean, the fact is, caller that just called in. Well, I'm not taking sides. And I do. I have developed my own nuance to be able to discern between politics, a government, and a nation, and an individual people. So I can have an absolute problem with Israel and their foreign policy, and love the Jewish people. And I you know, I'm sorry. Your facts are wrong. Right now, it is 1,200 to 10. I'm not saying the Gazans or the Palestinians are right or the Israelis. I'm just saying it's really impossible to get a fair conversation. And, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if people will even call in, because people do not like to touch this topic with a 10-foot pole because they're afraid of being labeled anti-Semitic. And one of the problems is the moment there's something you can't discuss, that leads to perversion, corruption, rot, any number of things. Mm-hmm. If you can't discover it, it's like rape. It's like incest within a family. When you can't get real and discuss something, or when you do and you're immediately called anti-Semitic, there's something going on. So that's my point. There's more to the story, and there's also rules that the UN has, you know, put out and have not been followed. There's sanctions that have been broken. There's, you know, it's a very complicated situation. most of us don't want to mess with nuance. Most of us don't want to go there. Most of us don't want to insult our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, our loved ones by saying, hey, something doesn't feel right. I encourage you to do research beyond mainstream media. That's all I'll say to that. 826-7771. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Out of there. I really did last man. How could have people digging holes coming up like rats? And you don't know they're coming up in the night to kill you or your children.
So I don't want to get stuck defending Palestine because that's not where I'm at.
I know.
But
I say this.
Okay.
Let's get out of there. And you know, protect our own American, Hawaii, whatever. Men don't want to fight. They prefer to stay at home and fight. Let these people fight their own fights.
Right.
Get out. Get out. Stay out. Come home. Protect our homeland, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, it's just
rebuild where we're supposed to be doing. Rebuild our security systems around here,
which don't seem to be working at all in the U.S. right now either. We have
definitely. No, well, you know, that's why everybody's got their own opinion, but I say war is war. So what's going on over there? If we don't like it, what if it happens right here in home?
And thank you for bringing it back here.
War.
Yeah, if we've
okay.
got
aloha.
Yeah, aloha. We've got starving people, uneducated people, veterans waiting in line for months and sometimes years. It's very interesting. Once again, I'm not an apologist for Palestinians and what's happening over there at all, but I do have a problem with Israeli foreign policy. I don't have a problem with Jewish people. I have a problem with a country called Israel. Sometimes, and not always. But I'd love to hear what's on your mind, and if you've got strong feelings, pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, bring them out. We'll keep it moving fast. We'll try not to get too foamy at the mouth, but let it rip. That's what the airwaves are for here on this show. 826-7771. And really, it doesn't matter what side of the topic or issue you're on. If you're feeling it, other people are too. They might not have the guts to call in. And if you do, it's a great service because people will agree or disagree. They'll call in and we'll have a community discussion. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Larry, and, you know, I've been listening to these conversations for the last, you know, 58 years of my life, and they all seem to center on the one thing, and that's a serious defect of humans, which is fear. I believe that if you're going to, you know, try to debate every issue that humans have, you're going to have to go back to the fact of we're mentally ill in some fashion or another, and it's causing us to do things that are, you know, not a thing that even a child would do.
Yeah, unnatural
behavior.
It's
time for us to grow up and to face the consequences of what we need to be responsible for, and you're going to have to leave the religion out of it, because if you don't leave the religion out of it, you're going to get confused, and you're going to go right back to what we've been doing for the last 5,000 or 6,000 years, which is basically killing each other. I'm just trying to raise two sons that is, you know, an older father, and I'm really trying to instill in them some peace, and it's really difficult today to find that anywhere out there, and I'm hoping that somehow you'll be able to look at your children and your grandchildren and somehow have that moment of clarity and reality that why are we here?
Yeah.
And it's for the future generation to have a better life.
Well, and I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Fear is the great motivator, and it's played upon by media, and it's played upon by Hollywood, and it's played upon by politicians, and they've really cracked the code. It's, you know, I just was at the emergency room. I broke my hand, and we were sitting in the emergency room for a half an hour, and it was filled with magazines that, you know, I have three daughters. It was filled with magazines that basically explained how it was impossible to ever be awesome because, you know, you're human and you're looking at these pictures of superhuman airbrushed, you know, ultra cosmopolitan shape. And I was thinking how weird here we are in the hospital and it's creating the unreal expectations. But it's fear, basically, and lack of love. And so I don't know, how do we fix that? How do you jump into the conversation, you know? I mean, There's the Israel-Palestine thing. Of course Israel has a right to defend itself. Do we at some point go, well, gosh, you do, and there's tunnels? Sure, and they're firing these little Estes models rockets. But in the last 2 or 3 weeks, 10 Israelis have been killed and 1,200, mostly civilians, have died in Gaza. So how do we look at that and just go, huh, okay, let's just, without even having a judgment, let's just honestly look at that. But the media doesn't. The military-industrial complex needs to move its armaments, and, you know, politicians need fear, and political action committees need funding, and it's, you know, but you nailed it. We're motivated primarily by fear. But I tell you, more and more people are waking up and saying no, from all religions and all non-religions. From people are waking up and going, you know, this isn't right. It's not healthy. So
yeah, I myself, you know, have a lot to look at in my own life, and I just wonder where these people find this time to do all this stuff when, you know, life is so short and so precious that we've given an abundance of things to do in our own lives that could keep it filled completely. I don't know why we're still seeking outside of ourselves to fix things. It doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside.
Yeah, well, I just had 9 months where my kids were away at college, and I've got great kids, but we have all the typical problems with our teenagers that anybody else does. That's a big assumption, but I mean, you know what I mean. But you know, we were seeing, you know, family. I don't even call them therapists. They're like life coaches, how to deal with my teenagers, how to deal with my own family of origin stuff. And I had my proverbial stuff together. I won't say the S word, but I had it all together. They came back, and within 2 weeks, we were right back into the old stuff. And they're thinking they're adults, and I'm still thinking they're kids, and boom, you know, fighting, scream. And so now we're looking at geopolitical stuff. You know, I'm thinking, gosh, I'm having a hard enough time with my teenagers, you know. And you're right. It all comes back to us, to ourselves. Like, that's the only thing we really can fix. And if we try to fix anything else outside of us before we're beginning to be on our path, it's all built on a crummy foundation.
I think you just hit it perfect. It's like I'm 24 now, so I'm just getting out of that phase where I'm a young adult, I guess I'm starting to become, and I'm getting to the point in my life where I really don't care as much about most things. Like, when I was growing up as a young kid, you grew up on fear. You grow up on all these things that you're afraid of. You know, you're going to school, do my clothes look good, and am I in shape? Do I look good for the girls? Do they like me? There's all these fears.
And everywhere in the media and Hollywood is reinforcing
that.
It. Everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Everywhere. And exactly as you're saying, there's these stars and these models that you can never be as good as, but you're always trying to be as beautiful and as good looking as all them. And that's what the average American teen grows up as. And it's really kind of depressing. You know, you're trying to be happy and you're trying to go for these unrealistic expectations, and then you get to this point, if you're lucky enough to, around my age, that you realize that it's all just a big joke.
Well, you're lucky at 24. It took me to 50. I'm 53. I'm just starting to go, wait a minute here. But, hey, your sons sound like lucky kids to have a father as thoughtful as you, and I think just the very beginning is like laying down the weapons, and that's the weapons are the blame, the gotcha, I mean within the family.
Yeah, just getting real. I think, though, that we're going to have to come up to that head again is the fact that, you know, you can only trap an animal, you know, so long, and sooner or later it's gonna snap back. And basically, we're being forced into a little box that there's no way it's going to sustain all of it.
Now, do you mean planetarily? Do you mean here in the U.S., here in Hawaii, here in Kauai?
Everywhere. It's not just here. It's everywhere. People are being... I mean, what kind of sick person has to spy on their own citizens? I mean, these are mentally ill people.
Yeah.
These aren't people that are actually okay. They're actually sick.
Well, you know, I would think
the police department actually taps in and listens to conversations and watches other people's computer traffic and stuff. That takes a certain type of illness to do that. You can't be spying on your brothers and actually not be really ill.
Well, it's interesting. I think I might be wrong. It might be the Heisenberg principle, but I can't quite remember. But when you observe a particle, you affect its behavior is essentially the bottom line. So simply by creating this Orwellian surveillance state, you're going to create this reverse carrier wave that upsets everybody, and then it creates and corrupts what it's fearful of to begin with. Because in a way, of course, we've got this technology, if they can use it, of course they're going to, because they're afraid. But what, we're all afraid. The guy in the next country over, everyone's afraid. But we really have enough. It's fear of lack. I don't know, but let me know when you figure the answer out, because sign me up.
Well, I figured out the answer a long time ago, and okay. It's actually, again, it's not outside of me. It's inside of me. If I'm going to continue to participate, and I've been a nonconformist all my life, and I paid dearly for that.
Yeah.
But I have a sense of peace today that I didn't participate in any of that, and I had no part in it. And I can say that to my children. I hope one day that they're proud of the fact that, I'm not out driving big SUVs. I'm running on solar. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do.
The hard thing with all that, though, is...
I can't answer for anybody else out there, but, if you're driving a vehicle that's getting, 8 miles a gallon, and you've got your children in the back, you have to really question where your priorities lie.
But here's where it gets crazy. So say you're driving your Toyota Prius, but you're still enjoying steak, and somebody else they ride their big truck, but they only eat fish, or they're vegetarian, or they're vegan. So we all have these things we identify. I'm good here, and they're bad there. And it's so interesting. I mean, then we have our family of origin lineage from everyone that came before us, all doing their best at any given moment, no matter how bad it was. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Boy, we'll see if we get some interesting calls from this. It's it's lining up. I've been waiting the last couple of weeks to see if we get more calls about Israel and Palestine, because it's kind of the human equation right there. I think it's a lot bigger than
sadness.
It is.
It's the real sadness.
Yeah. All right, caller. Thank
feel
you so
sadness.
Much.
Okay. Aloha.
Yeah.
Aloha.
Yeah. I guess that's one place to start, is just feeling the sadness or the joy, just feeling it. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Yes, we do have enough, and there is enough, and it's a distribution problem that is had, that we have in the world, and there's definitely enough for everyone, and if everyone was really served by these so-called governments, like, I don't believe there's maybe a couple, like Iceland is a pretty good government, there's a couple okay ones, but it's just in this time there is enough. We know that the guys that are in control really aren't allowing it to happen, because they want to make more money instead of just promoting life and having more life. They want more money, and life isn't money. And the guys who think you can get life from money, that's that's just wrongful. And that's kind of saying something about the last caller, but I was really calling about the Israel thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's your perspective?
Those guys that set up the state of Israel, it was set up for a sustainable conflict, because they knew they were making money off war. The Illuminati got together in the late 1800s, 1890s. They got together because they were the richest people that held all the money, and then that's when they started to work together to keep the masses in control. It's grown into maybe the Bilderberg Group at this point in time. This started then in the early 1900s, when the Fed was done and that whole thing. Those guys are working right with them too. Israel, the state of Israel, is a de facto state set up, just like this is a de facto state set up by the same kind of guys that are basically running this worldwide show, and governments really don't have anything to do with it. They're like, governments are little pawns for these guys, Or maybe, the bishops and kings are the governments, and then the actual people are the pawns. But, then we're growing, we see, in that late 1800s when those guys got together, they got together because the King of Kings was born. Haile Selassie was born. Solomon's grandson, okay? The Jews will argue with me. There's plenty of Jews that will argue with me. There's plenty of Jews that agree with me. Solomon's grandson was born, okay? Every nation sent a representative to bow. Before him, he was named the King of Kings, okay? It happened, okay? England returned a rod that was Solomon's, recognizing him as Solomon's grandson, okay? They're the avatar for this millennium, and that's the true king of Israel. The Israel state set up for sustainable conflict for the oil barons that were controlling the First World War and the Second World War and making all the dough from it. And, you know, so that's what it's really all set up. Everybody goes, oh, this or that. It's set up for that. When people realize that, it's a whole different thing. They got no right going in there in Israel. And they set up a fence. That's just what they did to the Native Americans. They did the same thing. Like 60 million people living there, cut down to 800,000 by the Second World War. You know, same thing with the Hawaiians. They came in here and just genocide. They went into Israel and just genocide all the people in there. They don't really care. They moved in and genocide them. And that's the same way America works.
So let me ask you. I've heard people call in and they say, "Oh, it's the European or it's the white." Do you think it transcends racial color? Do you think some people are just born with a little bit more enhanced lizard reptilian, I can't remember the reptilian part of the brain. What is it? The neocortex. Do some people have more of that and then some people have more of something else? Do you think it really comes down to, the European and Nordic races are evil and, you know, darker skin races are like.
Some Nordic blood.
Is it a culture, or is it just something that, like, within a culture, do you think there's that same amount of people that are the same bell curve within a culture, a race, a skin tone, any of that? Any group you want to take out?
No, because it's all, there's guys now, you know, we see with the Bilderberg group, it's really guys of all races. Now, the original families, you know, back in the 1800s, it might have been the Queen of England and the Rockefellers and the Barclay Bank and, you know, a couple other key players. But I'm not sure if they were all white. But it's the money system, or the money shitstem, as I call it, that needs to change. The whole preface of life is around money and making it instead of being life and having life.
Yeah.
You know, the original celestial man pattern, the original 5x5 for this earth, it's not a planet. It's a full plan. We need to take it in full plan. It's not a planet. It's earth. And the original celestial 5x5, five fingers, five toes, that walked upright on this was full of love and compassion for every single thing, and we functioned within unity, you know?
All right. Well, I got a bunch of other...
Garden, the snake coming into the garden, and that's what these guys are all representing. You know, all these guys are the snake, and I'm not religious. I'm you know, of the Most High. I love spirit, you know?
Well, you got the phones lit up, so feel free to call right back.
You know, much love to everyone. It's about love. And we need to just dash away from the war. More love. Aloha.
Hold on one second. Are you there? No, he left. Okay. I was going to ask him, do we ignore the wars, just ignore them completely, or do we go in there and try to fix them? It's confusing. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
How's it, brother Carlos?
Hey. So I ended up making it out of the emergency room on time. I got my hand casted up right now, and I'm looking forward to having you guys out here next week, if that works for you.
That works.
Okay.
I just was calling in for say how they could hear your voice, but I've been listening to these guys, and, you know, I've never really been a fan of Israel myself, and I've made it pretty much known that, what is this, chosen people? Portuguese are a chosen people. Let's get real. Pocho power, buddy. Pocho power. Anyway, I'm just joking around, but But, you know, I make my daughters watch the BBC for many years, you know, satellite dish, you know, can channel them. And several years ago, there was BBC footage of a Israeli farm with sprinklers all through the system, guarded by howitzers cannons. Literally, cannons are sitting there, pointed over the fence. And right on the other side of the fence was dry, horrible earth, poor, you know, malnutrition and all the diseases that are associated with it, right next door, you know. And as kids that aren't raised religiously and kids that are just kids just seeing something for raw reaction, right, they just couldn't fathom. It's like, so if these guys are killing you for resources and you've got the technology for the water, why don't you share the technology so everybody's happy, blah, blah, blah. You know, just simpleton ideas, not drenched in old man, old person politics and Bible thumping, you know what I mean? And it was clear to me that if you just look at it through the eyes of a child, you could probably get a lot more lives saved with a lot more done. You know, I mean, a normal child, they share. We teach our kids to share. You know, and the real reason I was calling up about the kids is because I have teenagers too. And what I've noticed is that the political scene, on top of the media, social media scene, of how you talk about rich actors and movie stars and singers. But just the political arena sends the worst example for our kids. There's no accountability. Deny, deny, deny. And if you really just zoom back out and you look at your kids, that's what they're doing. And that's what I'm doing. Right, when it's like, you know, oh, you didn't do it right? Oh, why was it? So why? Why was it me? You know, blah, blah, blah. And that's what's going on in our political arena. There's no accountability. They deny, deny. They just get louder and yell their point until they win, you know.
It was interesting in the news today, there was a story about a judge in Russia. I'm sorry, not Russia. I don't know where that came from. A judge in Washington, the state of Washington, who
was... That's a far distance there.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those, my senior moments. But the judge...
Between spaces there.
I know. The judge actually was ruling in a custody and child support case. And it turned out, and he ruled totally against the man in favor of the woman. And it turned out he was sleeping with the woman. The judge was sleeping with the woman the whole time. It was found out, and the gentleman involved took the judge to court, and it was ruled that because he was a judge, he could not be sued or held accountable. And that was just in the paper today, and I just thought, wow, when we have laws that we have, you know, circumstantial enforcement or selective enforcement, we have ethics that are situational, they don't carry across the whole time. I mean, you know, to me, with Israel or any country, the U.S. included, I want all to be held to the same standards. That's really what I want. Whatever they are, whatever the standards are, we apply them equally across the board and see what happens. So.
You know, and you know what? With politics being so mingled with the media, you know, I mean, look at Saturday Night Live. My kids watch Saturday Night Live. I mean, my kids watch the news, but I mean, pretty much wherever you go, they're talking about the current events, right? And they see this. Not only from the superstars and all that stuff, but like I said, if we don't, I just came back from D.C., as you know, with my daughter.
Yeah.
And the sonar radar thing that you guys talking about with the whales, I watching the reefs dissolve right in front of my eyes. Right, I've been using the ocean my whole life. Amy is dead. I don't snorkel for Hanale, but I'm assuming Hanale is dead too. I do go Hyena. I've seen that in Hyena, too. So, you know. But one of the things that my daughter got to meet with Tulsi in the Congress, you know, up on Capitol Hill and all that, in her office. And she got a little 20-minute discussion. And one of the things she talked about is what Navy are we getting ready for with this RIMPAC? I mean, who are we actually fighting against? right? China's there. That's not only another navy. And she questioned her on why she couldn't, why aren't they using these resources to clean the ocean? And Tulsi, to her credit, being a politician and actually a very good advocate of the military, and I like her a lot, don't get me wrong. And I've been in the service. Of course, I'm pro-military. You know, her response was, oh, we're making alliances and we're building bridges and this, that, and, you know, which is really not the truth. I mean, that's what her political answer is. But I told my daughter, what I really think it is, it's a big arms deal. Come and buy our stuff so we can, you know, fund our next stuff.
It's like a big trade show out in the water.
She, you know, she pressed her in the sense that, you know, look, we're fishermen. Our reefs are dying. We think this one of the reasons is the overuse of this frequency, this radar and sonar frequency that you use. The reefs are made up of calcium carbonate, and it just so happens that it microwaves it and it dissolves in it. And you know,
you're back to the reef, yeah.
But you know, that's why, you know, if you guys are really bent hell on this, get your kids involved. Teach them civics.
To participate.
Involved,
yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have you on next week, I hope.
Well, not me. I'll put my daughter on.
Yeah,
I
but you
know.
Too. You
she,
took
she
her there, too.
Me. I didn't do anything. I was walking around the National Mall.
All right. Well, I got a bunch of other calls. We're going to have you next week.
No, I'm going to go, too. I just wanted to say, I'm glad to hear you on the air. I was going to hear you today.
Yeah, good to be back. My arm, no surgery needed, just a cast, so. All right, brother. Thanks a lot.
One more thing before I hang up. As far as the kids go, you just have the strength. You got to have the strength to not give in, but sometimes you got to have the strength to give in. It's a total yin and yang.
Beautiful.
I hate to say it.
I like it.
You got to choose your battles.
I like it.
All right. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right, my friend. See ya. Thank you. Caller, you're next. What's on your mind?
Hey, how come everybody from the Israelis for?
So you feel that that's okay. What's going on in your mind with that?
Yeah, how come? But the thing is, Israelis, from a long time ago, a long time ago, they struggled to find a land. Everybody picking on them. Let's let them go. But Hamas got to come around. Jordan missiles all over them. Then Israeli get pissed off. And they go fire back they can. And everybody went to war. And what? The Hamas using the women and children as shields. But they watch the news or what? They fire the missiles with the kids and the women all over the place, and what, when Israeli going to pick them up, they're going to blow up everybody. That's what they call collateral damage. Everybody has collateral damage. Man, don't pick on the Israelis, but what about terrorist guys, man? Why nobody pick on them? All the Israelis wanted to do is just defend themselves, live in peace. But you know, you piss them off, they're going to piss you off. You know what I mean? They're going to bomb their place, then they're going to shoot those other guys, and look, everybody's getting killed all over the damn place. How's that, Carlos?
Different perspectives. I'll tell you what, you go to Canada or other countries and you see a whole different news. So the news you see here is not this news you're seeing in 100 different countries. You know, so really, the bummer is we're not getting the real story from either side.
So what? You're telling me Hamas is doing the right thing?
No, I'm not, but I tell you what, if you ever wanted to do some research, you'd find out that what you're being told in the media is not what's happening. And I'm not an apologist for Palestine at all. But if you look at a map from 1948 to now and see what has happened in Palestine, it's about 10% of the land that started there in Palestine is 90% gone. It's occupied. So the problem, but the weird thing here in the U.S. is, we occupied Native American lands. We occupied Hawaiian lands. So we're talking from within an insane, sick bubble to begin with. So it's, you know, for us, of course, right or wrong in Israel, and don't get me wrong, caller, I'm not sticking up for any group here. I'm just, I could say for 17 years now, I come on the air, I want the real story, I want the real facts, and I want people to make up their own mind.
I want the real story, you know, this thing is like a... Everybody's picking on one side. Only,
well, no. That's
only
that,
on
but
Israel.
No, that's not what there. That's not what's happening though. I'm gonna go out on a limb. That is not what's happening. That's not what's happening. That's what the media, which is six companies own 90%, and I just read this fact yesterday, verified it too. Six companies own 90% of every radio, television, and print, airwave, page, movie, everything. Six companies. We're getting, and those companies are also involved in war profiteering, General Electric, Boeing, Northrop Grumman. So it's a gigantic, complicated thing. And what they do is they play on us. They play on Muslim sentiments. They play on Israeli sentiments. They play on Christian sentiments. They play on atheist sentiments. And they get all of us fighting each other. And I think the real problem is there's a very small group of people at the top that just make a lot of money off chaos and a mess. And if you actually saw real news in Israel,
those will make the money.
Well, yeah. But if you saw Israel, they have protests where thousands and thousands of people are protesting against what's happening in Gaza. But we don't see that because it doesn't support the narrative. So where I'm trying to get on this show is to not get stuck behind any narrative. I don't want to get stuck behind apologizing for Palestine or cheerleading for Israel. It's what are the facts, and let's learn how to think and do research. Because if you're saying
you get the facts first,
but you can't get the facts off the media. You just can't. They're bought and paid for.
I heard this lady that she don't like Israel at all. Israel's a good people. Everybody's a good people, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody has a right to defend themselves too.
Everybody's gonna pick on them. And what? Not going to stop after that.
Well, what's really happening? There's stuff happening in this country that we're being told, look at Russia, look at the Philippine mysterious disappearing era, look at this war, look at all this other stuff, but don't look what's happening when it's being, when Detroit is getting its water turned off and the UN is possibly coming in to take over Detroit because of water crisis, or our whole southern border is open up. Now, maybe it should be, but it's not happening in a lawful, legal way. It's happening by executive order, and it's happening as political games. So all this stuff's happening in the U.S., and we are being told, don't look here. Look out there in the world and get foaming at the mouth for Israel, against Israel. We need to fix our own problems in this country first, don't you think?
That's right. We got to fix our own problems. Go put in, let them go.
I believe the airport over in Oahu. I believe a lot of the military bases on other islands. There's all this Hawaiian land that we did not pay. We broke our own laws and broke our own constitution to be here. We're here. I live here. I have raised my family here, but I still have to look through this filter of we're not even following our own constitution here, and we're out there trying to be the world's policeman, but we've lost our moral authority. So I don't know. I think we're in for a world of hurt soon.
I don't trust the government. What?
Yeah, and you know what? Wouldn't you love to trust your government? I mean, could you imagine if you could trust your government? You know, I was born an American citizen. I want to love this country dearly. I understand the need for military. I understand the Israelis get to protect themselves, but so do the Palestinians. And you know, a lot of people don't know that England and the UK screwed Israel and Palestine up. They also created all these other states. They divided India into Pakistan and India, all these fake bad. There's so much money and geopolitical gamesmanship happening, and we read the news and we go, oh, everyone's attacking Israel, or everyone's attacking the Palestinians. It's crazy. That one caller said we got to start with ourselves, and then we got to get the real facts. But I appreciate you, and I agree. No one should be attacked.
Nobody should take sides, but you know, but at least it's really a break. Everybody a break. You know, the thing is, all I hear is anti what Israel, but everybody, had two guys died in a war.
Yeah.
And they get the American citizenship. They died for Israel, but they're American citizens.
Well, they're probably dual citizens. It's a weird thing. And one of the bummers in American politics is we allow dual citizenship at high office, and that should not be. That shouldn't be at all. But we got to start home, and I love you calling in and standing up for Israel because, like I said, my job isn't picking sides.
All it is negative about Israel. Yeah. What the other guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see what else we got. All right.
Thank you, bye.
Oh, sitting in the seat, taking the calls, gonna get in trouble no matter what, which direction we go. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Hi, Carlos. I'm an Oahu caller, and I just love the show. I look forward to it every week. But and thank you. I think that one of the issues here, and the caller's inputs are terrific. One of the issues here, as you pointed it out many weeks ago when you returned, by saying it's the complexity of all of these issues that makes it so difficult to take one side or the other. And I think you said that, if I'm not wrong, or something to that order.
Yeah, that was my first or second show coming back after being off the air for a year.
Yeah, and the issues are complex. And I want to just take a moment to answer to a couple of issues. One is the government thing and the sanctuary fishing rights, and then talk about Israel real quick, and
sure.
then you know, let it go. But when we talk about sanctuaries, you gave a pretty accurate description of what a sanctuary does. Let's talk about the humpback whale sanctuary. And one of the callers said that, you know, there's your government taking fishing rights away, and I wanted to make a positive comment for the sanctuary, in that they are completely in compliance with what is a community initiative called the Hyena Community Based Subsistence Fishing Area, and in order to realign their boundaries in that area.
Can I jump in real quick for clarification? First of all, you said they are in compliance. Who would the they be for our listeners?
The they would be the sanctuary.
Okay.
A caller was concerned about boundary extensions, and one of the things that there are a number of different reasons, and you elucidated some of them, that a sanctuary wants to take over this reef so that people can't get near it, and then another caller said that he's watching the reef disintegrate, and what he believes is that it's the microwaves. Well, I beg to differ. I don't think the science will support that. Not the science is right in every case, and I would not want to contradict the opinion of a native Hawaiian who's walked the reef all his life, but modern science says that there are anthropogenic causes to the reef degradation.
And for listeners who don't know, that would be human-caused consequences
to the reef.
That's
correct.
Yeah.
Right. That's development, human-caused. And one of your callers beautifully mentioned that. It's a problem with humans. And the problem is human, and it translates to the ecology, to the government, whatever else. But everything is not a conspiracy theory, and some of these government agencies can be trusted, and they have a tremendous sensitivity to community input to find out what people in Hyena and Hanalei think about both the sanctuary and or their boundary extensions and or anything that they do. They're scrutinized by it. I'm sorry to hear that a friend of yours was arrested for taking a picture of a wildlife. I have no idea why, but it certainly didn't come from...
Well, real quick, they stepped 1 foot over a boundary. They were not in a sensitive place at all, but they were youthful, and they were obnoxious when authority came to do a little power trip thing. And then it escalated, and it went into lawful. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of complexity there.
What you're pointing out is that's a people thing.
Yes.
You know, that's law enforcement, you know, in their little fiefdom coming up to somebody in their little belief system, and there's a clash there, and it results in an arrest.
Yes. And the real clash is all of us, whether we're coming from a geopolitical, a national, a sovereign, or an individual, or even me with my teenagers the last 2 months. They just left for college, and it was a freaking night. I could have used the UN at my house, you know. We're not trained to be able to look at nuance or complexity. We're not trained to be able to have dispassionate civil discourse, passionate
right.
but dispassionate as far as being respectful and not getting polarized. And there are absolutely places for sanctuaries, and countries like Israel absolutely get to defend themselves. But we need to not get our facts from one source, or it will always become corrupted.
Oh, I think yeah. you're right.
And I think we're on
I
the
think
same
that,
page.
That along with the information explosion, there's a disinformation
yes.
explosion, and that depending upon where you go on the internet, you can see so much crap that just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, you can self-stratify. You can self-stratify and find your own pathway into your own garbage dump that completely reinforces your limited worldview, myself included, you know. I tell people at every show, don't even listen to me. Don't listen to anything. Get 20 different sources. Learn to research.
Don't listen to me because my opinion is like a nose. We all have them.
Yeah.
And I am to some extent, you know, influenced by the media, but I search. I'm a researcher by profession. I used to listen to Radio Havana, Radio Moscow, just to hear a contrary opinion.
Nice. So what's your opinion about Israel?
And I'm that way now.
How do we digest Israel through the media, through spirituality, through cultures, through history, through the pogroms and diasporas? Do they get a special pass? Is it this is a special moment? Is it not? What's your thoughts on it? It's confusing.
My thoughts are, and again, I take from an international bent. You know, I've looked at media outlets all over the world, and I've compared all of them. And you know, some are so biased and so untruthful that it's almost sickening. I think your callers have exhibited a lot of sides to that argument, but here's mine. The Israelis and the fellow talking about the 5 points and all of that, you know, he's got that right. You know, I think there's substance to that. But the Israelis are sitting there in this little plot of land, and the borders are arbitrary. I'll give you that. And there people are lobbing rockets at them. Now, that is a, you know, you can say it's a fact, it's whatever it is, but it's a reality. There's a clash of civilizations. It is such a mess over in the Mideast that it's difficult to describe. But if you're sitting there in your living room and someone's lobbing rockets at you, and you know, you call your representative. I think the woman with the example of the neighbor thing left a little something out. Yes, if we were to tell our friends Israel, hey, knock it off, you know, you can't be doing that. We may be in that analogy leaving out the fact that the neighbor that's getting the bombs tossed at him was in fact the one that we're criticizing, because if Israel is sitting there and it is known, it is published in unbiased sources all over the globe, that the Palestinians, for what it's worth, are lobbing rockets at Israel. That's a provocation.
Now, here's my difficulty, and I could tell that you and I could have a conversation about this and go very deep and then not hate each other at the end.
I think you're right.
Okay, so this is, first of all, it's a 1,000-year conflict, and you have the Sunnis, and what's the other Muslim sect? There's the Sunnis.
And the Shiites.
They're fighting each other. I have Jewish family. I've got non-Jewish family, like family, blood close.
So
I know people of the Muslim faith, and I know people of Middle Eastern cultural, geographical birth, but not even participating in the Muslim thing. It's very interesting, but it's very difficult to talk because it's not just Hamas lobbing rockets at Israel. There's the whole occupation thing, too. And what upsets me is when I can't talk about the whole picture, not now with you, but like if I go online, there are whole groups that will attack anything that is anti-Israel. You've seen it, and you know it's true if you've done any research.
No, I do know that, and I don't know anti-Semitic from anything.
There literally is well-funded, educated people that are, and they're standing up for their country, their culture, their religion that they love. I get it, but to just say Hamas is lobbing rockets at Israel without saying Palestine has been occupied and shrunk to about 10% of what it originally was. Now, there was the Six-Day War, there was all this, but you can't just say Israel's attacking Palestine needlessly. You can't say Hamas is just lobbing rockets at Israel. There's a whole gigantic, nuanced thing that's happened, and a lot of it's happened by countries like the UK that set up these arbitrary borders after World War II and the Bretton Accords. I'm trying to remember my history right now, but a lot of this stuff is arbitrary. But in the media, you know, you listen to Al Jazeera, you're going to get one story. You listen to, you know, an Israeli-centric group, you're going to get another story. Where are our children being educated to be able to take themselves out and really do research and not be motivated by fear or anger or greed or whatever?
Yeah, my advice to the children is to be assiduous in your research. Just keep looking until you find something that differs from what is being shoved down your throat by the media outlets.
Yeah.
Read it, evaluate it, and decide for yourself.
But here's the question. Do you think that the children are being encouraged to do that by media, by education, by our education?
Oh, no, certainly not by media.
Yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads. They want their money.
They want a well-trained consumer.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you there. But I do think that it is fair to say that the Palestinians are lobbing rockets at Israel. I think it's fair to say it. But with a footnote that there is a complexity to the issue that goes way beyond that very general statement. But it is a fact that they are lobbing rockets at Israel. You know, why? Fine. I'm sick. Absolutely sick. I've been to a war. I wouldn't wish it on someone I don't like.
Hmm.
I'm sick that women and children are getting killed. It's a terrible thing. The crimes against humanity, and you could single out Israel and say, yep, it's them. They're killing the women and children. But what about the guys that are lobbing the rockets from the neighborhoods where the bombs that are very carefully directed at the fire point are killing the women and children? What do you say to the men who are firing the rockets from those very locations?
I've been to war.
I've seen it.
No, you know, and they using women and children as shields and hiding weapons in churches. And I hear you.
Fundamental religious belief that if the women and children die, that's not in this article you're reading.
Yeah.
But they're going to go to heaven or wherever, you know, wherever they go.
Yeah.
What do you say to those people? Are they cowards or are they heroes? Are they martyrs? Because if you're looking at a story where a bunch of women and children are killed, and one side of the fence people think they're martyrs, and on the other side of the fence people say, gee, we're really sorry, but we answered with rockets to where the rockets came from. I mean, I sat in Da Nang and watched the NBA throw rockets. I mean, they literally lobbed rockets at us all night long, and we would basically return fire. What I'm suggesting is, in a war zone, perhaps Israel is just returning fire. I mean, I know the issue is complex. I don't want to oversimplify.
No, I feel really good about our exchange too, because I don't want to be here being an apologist for Palestine either. I'm not. My problem is, and I would bet you would agree with me on this, the media does not cover anything fairly, and we are being pulled by whatever powers that be are trying to put a political agenda, an arms deal, or whatever. And I think the U.S. is part of a gigantic multinational collective that doesn't want any wars to really be won ever again. It wants detente. It wants never-ending small skirmishes so we can be Oceania, and I forgot what the other country was in George Orwell's 1984. We are trained. So I agree, Israel absolutely has a right to defend himself, but you can't talk about the rockets lobbed, because the Hamas aren't going, let me see, do we go have some, you know, hummus or bomb Israel today? No, they're reacting too. But I think the people of Israel and the people of Hamas are on one level. And then there's this multinational thing happening that's banking and arms dealing and everything, and they're using both sides, and they're using
I don't think you're far from wrong with that.
Okay.
I'm with you there. I really, you know, I've seen that part of it too, and many of the callers reflected that.
Yeah.
You know, this quest for power and money and blah 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 and things. But the caller, the father there who talked about, you know, it comes back to the self. I say it comes back to these complex issues, because you brought up a good point with the judge when he was sleeping with the wife. That's a true story.
It's in the news today too.
Which is a funny one, because I'm actually fairly close to something like that, and I would recommend that your listeners research Lucerne County, Pennsylvania, if they want to see a legal atrocity. Now, that's a poor county in Pennsylvania, and I just happened to be going through there one time when two judges, the chief judge and the circuit court judge or whatever in Lucerne County, one used his powers to squelch an order, to seal an order from the state of Pennsylvania saying, do not build a new juvie facility. He sealed the order from the committee at the state level. He sealed the order that said, don't build a juvie facility. So you know what they did? They built the juvie facility, and it cost $7 million or something like that. And there were payoffs. The two judges bought a $950,000 condominium in Jupiter, Florida, with a 50-foot sports fishing boat, the name of which was Real Justice, R-E-E-L, Justice. And then they were caught with their hands in the till. Their wives walked, because the wives said, we know nothing about it. But these two judges were suspended with pay.
Yes, of course, with pay.
Yeah. And then you know what they did, though, Carlos? They filled up the juvie facility in defiance of the order from the state, because they had the power to do that. And that's Lucerne County. And I am not finished with that. That happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Wow.
You know, and the media wants to go away. I called ABC, I called NBC, I called CBS. Nobody cared about it. Do you know why, Carlos? Because it goes on everywhere.
Yes, it goes on everywhere, and we're going to let other people get away with their stuff because we hope that we'll get away with our stuff. I do want to tell you, I've been looking at this clock waiting to do the top of the hour, and the clock...
Do it. I'm sorry.
It's a funny story. The clock...
Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it.
The clock sucks.
And I love your listeners and the people's opinions.
Yeah, I want to get this out to you. I want you to hear this because this is where I'm conflicted right now, okay? I'm way out of my element. I read 5 to 8 hours a day without a fail every day. So I do have facts, and I read both sides and all angles. What my problem is, if I am unable to have a real open show about a situation like Israel without being labeled, I rail against it. But for the most part, I've been biting my tongue lately, and I thought, hey, you know, hey, so callers brought it up. But it's more that it has been made by social Darwinism, and more power to the people that get to win the social Darwinism game on the physical level. They're not going to win on a spiritual level, whatever that is, but on the earthly level, they're winning. They've got better PR, they own more media, whatever. But I want to be able to talk about anything and have people weigh in and not be labeled racist or anti-Semitic or anything like that, and that's what we're kind of working against. After 9/11, for the first couple of months, you couldn't talk about our government because you'd get turned in, whether it was at the gym or whatever, and that shouldn't be. The U.S. should always be able to have a free and open discussion about anything and let the chips and the truth fall where it may.
Right. Absolutely.
But I enjoy your call, and I wish more people could have a really heated, passionate debate and then go out and have a beer afterwards or a non-alcoholic frosty beverage.
We'll do that. Oh, by the way, I'm an absentee voter from Kauai, and I cast my vote for Justin Barker today.
Justin Barker.
I'm saying that at the end of the conversation as opposed to the beginning of it because I didn't want to be stereotyped. I hope we can do that.
Well, thanks, and keep calling in. Keep holding me to the fire.
I'll be there.
All right.
Thank you.
Aloha. Before the next caller, I want to apologize because Eric and I kept looking up at the clock and the battery stopped, and I finally realized the minute hand itself wasn't working. So the top of the hour has come and gone, but you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, a live call-in show every Tuesday from 4 to 6 with Eric Cannon and myself, Carlos, and we're taking your calls 826-7771. I'm going to make sure to give this one caller a few extra minutes, the two callers, because they did wait. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Who, me?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to call and say, speaking of educating yourself, there's a great Israeli scholar named Ilan Pop from the University of Haifa, and he's got several books out. A recent book out is called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. This is an Israeli scholar, and it's a very interesting book. There's another book called The General Son, which is by, I don't know who it's by, but it's a story of... some people who are on the side of peace who live in Israel and who do not happen to agree with the current foreign policy of Israel right now. And I'd also like to say that I certainly am not
against the Jewish people or the State of Israel, but this particular time when they have so much more power and they're misusing that power. If they want to go after Hamas, there's a way of going after Hamas without killing so many innocent civilians.
So do you think just
go in through the tunnels?
But
and
do
go
you
that
think
way?
Turning the other cheek? Should they? Is there a certain amount
well,
of casualties
the other cheek is,
that they
but
could?
There's got to be some other ways. And the other question to be asked is, who is Hamas and how did they come to be? How did the State of Israel come to be?
Yeah.
At the end of World War II, Great Britain and the United States came up with this decision to make Israel, you know, a place in the Middle East based on Bible connections and also their need to have their own little country in their pocket in that area to protect their oil interests.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, that's a very big simplification. So, I mean, obviously, the people that were displaced were not happy about it and have never been happy about it, and there has been somewhat of a unfair balance there. I don't think that anyone is for Hamas, you know, lobbing rockets at Israel, even though they're extremely ineffective. But the fact of the response, the overbalance of the response is so over the top that nobody can look at that and say that's necessary. That's all. It's not the right way to go about it. And killing women and children is never justifiable. Never.
You've got the phones lit up, so I'm going to keep taking calls.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, caller. And thanks, Eric, for continuing to answer those phone calls. Feel free to jump in, Mr. Cannon.
I will.
Go ahead, caller. Thanks for holding. It's all you.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Let me tell you something about a personal experience I had. This is when I was serving in the Marine Corps, and I was stationed at 29 Palms, California. And in that particular area, people from all over the world come there to learn how to, one, fight in the desert, two, armored weapons training, and combat air tactics, and do various things. And we would have people every year. We'd have a new, or every 6 months, we'd have two new groups coming in. Some from you know, American troops from other bases, some Army troops, some other Marine Corps units, and we also got international troops. And we used to get the Israelis who would come out because they were expert in fighting in the desert. And we would actually do training with these guys. And one time when I was training with these guys, I had a conversation with a gentleman who was a general in the Israeli army. And we were talking about, you know, what's going on out there. And it was a brief conversation, but he said to me, imagine being living in a place where you were given to survive because at one point, you know, part of the world tried to exterminate you. So we had to, you know, you imagine people from all over the world coming from countries that where they were being corralled and murdered by the millions, okay? So now all these refugees from Europe are looking for a place to live. A boatload of them came to the United States back in the 50s, I believe, and we turned them away. And they rode around in the Pacific, I mean, in the Mediterranean, not to the United States, but they were looking for asylum from America and other countries. They couldn't find a place to put them. So they decided to find a place where that was lightly occupied, kind of remote, and where this is a UN decision to put these people so that they can survive and recover from what happened during and before World War II. And that is Israel. So that area where Israel is now was mostly inhabited by people who were like Bedouins, people who were, you know, who moved around a lot, didn't really have any major technology or major cities. And so all the countries after World War II got together and said, let's use that land. We'll resettle the people who are there someplace else and make a space for these people to survive.
Well, conceivably, all the countries except the one country of people that was living there. But I'm not disputing any of your facts. Yeah.
Let me make a quick point. Imagine looking at where Israel right now is. And remember, 20% of Israel's population are Arab Muslims who live free and prosper in Israel. As a matter of fact, Israel has Muslim troops in their army. that they used to defend themselves against the other Arab countries that want to destroy them. Remember the 1967 war, and the Yom Kippur war. All these wars were the nations around them getting together to destroy them. And they defeated them each time. Okay? And so what happens now is that the people in that area who resided there before them, who were tribes who battled and fought against each other, murdered and massacred each other all the time, they came together to form in a gathering of hate because they had these Jews who were returning to basically their historical homeland because of their religious beliefs, and the people who lived there's religious beliefs, they knew that they had to exterminate them. And that's what we're seeing today. You have these people not only who want to destroy Israel but destroy the United States, destroy us because we're free. And that's a fact. Israel has already been not only after people trying to destroy them during and before World War II, all the way up until this very time, they've been under constant threat from their neighbors and, of course, the people who lived in the land of that they – remember, the world came together to give Israel this land, you know, in spite of the people who were there. Now, skip to the day. Imagine, it's just 20 years ago. Instead of trying to destroy and murder Israel, the Palestinians said, okay – we're not going to train our children to blow themselves up and strap bombs to our women and children. We're going to go, let's do business with Israel. Let's be friends with Israel. Today, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Israel is one of the strongest economies, and because of that, they have the strongest military. They're the freest people in that region. They're the only democracy in that region, and they've been our allies since as long as they've existed and supported us 100%. Everything.
Well, your sentiments are certainly shared by a large group of people.
And this is facts. Yeah. This has got nothing to do with the media. If you just look at history, these are facts. Look at today. Who of all the conflicts going on around the world, who is the aggressor? Who is the one out there trying to murder people, trying to destroy whole countries? Look at Africa. You know, look at the Middle East is in total turmoil. Why? Is it because of America? The freest country on earth, where people send their children unaccompanied to hostile territory to be Americans, where people come from all over the world on freaking inflated tires, on raggedy boats. They'll do whatever they can to get into America. Our borders right now are under assault by people who want to get in this country and have what we have, not because we're tyrannical or that we're trying to dominate the world, or because our corporations are evil. No, because we're free. Because they can come here and make a living for their families that they couldn't anywhere else.
Well, you got the phones lit up. I want to give you 30 seconds to put it into a concise thing, and then I want to see how people are responding, because your sentiments are shared by so many across the country, too. And I'm glad you called in, because they're, you know, if I had a longer show that was totally devoted to this, I would dispute some of your facts because I've done my historical reading. But you're not totally off base on a lot of them.
I'm using general.
Yeah, there's some
generalities. I'm not talking details.
So what's like, if you wanted to wrap it up into like a couple of sentences, then I want to see what these people that are flashing on the phone boards want to say back to what you're saying.
If you want to know really what's going on in Israel, go talk to someone from Israel. We have Jews in America all over the place. We have Israelis. I talk to Israelis every day who live in Israel, who are here in America doing business. All you do is walk through Al Moana Shopping Center. All those kiosks, those people are from Israel. Talk to them. Ask them. I talk to them all the time. They know what's going on.
Now, but would you say the same thing about go talk to someone who lives in Palestine, or would that not be – it would be moot?
Imagine if Palestine had decided to –
No. I'm just asking you. I'm just seeing if it's like a level playing field, or if it's prejudged that Israel has the right of return and it just doesn't matter, and a 3,000-year biblical history.
Okay. I'll just say this. It's only – the playing field is not level only because those people choose not to do business with Israel.
Okay.
The reason Hamas and those people are poor and suffering is because instead of – teaching their children how to do business, they teach their children how to blow people up. That's all I got to say.
And I certainly will agree that Israel went into a desert, and it's a fertile, you know, paradise in its way right now, too. But there's, boy, there's just so much. And I'm glad you called in, because I really want people to get. I'm not apologizing for Palestine or supporting Israel or vice versa. I just want to hear what the callers think about this, because most of the time we're afraid to get on the media, on the airwaves, and really just talk candidly from our hearts, whatever it is. So,
is this Carlos?
Yeah, and I really appreciate your call.
All right, Carlos. You know I love you, man.
Yeah, and I know you know I love you, too, and I really appreciate your perspective, and thanks for calling
in.
Yeah.
Anytime.
I love it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
All right, next caller. Thank you so much for holding.
You can... Hey, how's it, Carlos?
Okay, yeah.
You
got called out.
For the other guy.
Yeah.
And since this guy was just on the phone, I'm going to also weigh in on this Gaza issue. I would like to point out to the caller before, the two callers before, and everybody who's off-pro bent out of shape for Israel. You know, he mentioned do business. They have a blockade on them. These guys are living very poor lives because Israel's policies are forcing them to be desperate. The story I told you earlier with the howitzers protecting the water and the gardens, that is like kapahi for saying, dude, their policies suck. I can tell you, I'm Portuguese, and if their policies did what they did, and when I first got aware about this whole Jewish trip, back in the 2001 after 9/11, you know, because we all had to become aware, you know, us Americans that didn't care. I went and read the Bible, and I was horrified at what they did. Killed every last living thing. That's what they did 2,000 years ago.
That's what, wait. That's what who did?
The Jews. And it was, you know, that's what I read in the Bible. I'm not very biblical. I don't care about religion. I think it causes more problems than it actually does good. Not saying no good doesn't come out of it. I'm just saying more problems. And, you know, when you do critical thinking, you got to weigh out this kind of stuff. But, you know, listen, they have an embargo going on. Maybe if they did some fair trade, that's what I was talking about, sharing their technology. So they came in. All right, they took the desert. They conformed it. They made it they made it lush and they made it work. Now let's share it. Let's propagate it out. So that you don't have, and I always ask my daughter, if you become rich in your lifetime, can you enjoy your money if your neighbors are poor and struggling? That's like a fundamental question that I teach my kids. And so this is like, this policy is horrible. The guy before me is talking about do business, ask the guys at the kiosk. What's going on? Is he getting his ecstasy from the kiosk guys? What's going on? He sounded like he was on ecstasy.
I'm
in love with Jews.
All right, let me keep taking those calls.
No, but I wanted to, but I mean, I just saying, that's what the guy said, you know. And so my question is, what about the policy on the embargo? Now, the other thing I wanted to say, the guy talked about the science. You there?
Yep.
You know how we're talking about the reefs?
Yeah.
I got that from scientists. I watched in the science on this. I don't know who that guy from Oahu was calling, you know, Kaneohe was one of the first places to show this up. And yes, it does have, and this is man-made. This sonar is part of man's destruction. So he was ridiculously saying something after. It was like, I was listening to him thinking, does this even know what he's saying? But I just want to point out that, you know, our reefs are damaged by all kinds of environmental issues that man has caused. But I'm talking about RIMPAC's overuse of sonar and radar. All they're doing is a mock game. And my point was, why are we wasting, as a country that is barely can feed its people, grumbling about its healthcare system, why are we out there wasting resources if we're not trying to do something productive? At least make the mission about cleaning the gyro out.
Yeah, the Pacific gyro, yeah.
You know, everybody gets bogged down on those little ooh, ooh, ooh. But I'm pointing out that, wait, this is just wasted resources on top of the overuse of sonar and radar. That's all I wanted to rebuttal with, Carlos.
All right.
You got a hot show going today.
Boy, it's
and
open.
For all those guys talking on the Jew side, remember, their policies are making desperate people. As a famous word of Cypress Hill, you guys, if anybody knows Cypress Hill, you know what I'm talking about. Aloha, man.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I do not know Cypress Hill. Do you know Cypress Hill?
I do.
Oh, is it a band?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm old. I'm 53. We got another caller that's been waiting. And I encourage you to call in, and you will not be argued with or embarrassed on any side of the Israeli, Palestine, Gaza, Hamas issue. But feel free to switch it to local politics, who you're voting for, upcoming election. We already saw some voter fraud in the newspaper yesterday. Very interesting stuff. Dairy's opening up, but smaller on the south side. All sorts of stuff happening. It's your show, though. So what's on your mind? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, welcome back, Carlos.
Aloha.
Aloha. Hey, I was going to call about something else, but I couldn't resist.
I've been trying to
dial in for like an hour or so.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm a big believer in facts being important in resolving conflict, and I'm just going to state a fact for somebody a couple of callers ago just to start the conversation, and then I want to make a point. Almost 1,000 people have been killed on the Palestinian side as of today, another 128 today, mostly women and children. Less than 40 have been killed on the Israeli side, mostly military. So there's another fact. And this can go on forever, because what's interesting with me about this is I've been listening to this crisis for 20 years, and you listen to somebody on one side, and you go, wow, that makes sense. And you listen to someone on the other side, you go, wow, that makes sense, because they all have their facts, they all have their passion, they all have their position. And, you know, 20 years ago, I didn't know what to make of it, but over and over again, and seeing this pattern in domestic disputes and personal disputes of all kinds and disputes with nations, my conclusion with these folks is there's factions on each side that are acting like terrorists. On both sides. With the Israeli, they happen to have uniforms and a flag, and with Hamas, they don't. There are terrorist activities going on with both of these sides. And gathering the facts, and no matter how passionately they sit and express them, no matter how detailed they are, is never, never going to end this crisis. I shudder to think what's going to happen. My father passed away recently, you know, and I know just the pain of losing a loved one. And 1,000 people, women and children mostly, have died on the Palestinian side in the last 3 weeks. And to put that under the token of self-defense, who I am a great advocate of, self-defense is a core principle of living. But this is not self-defense. I take a breath there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This whole argument on both sides, people have decided. They've decided and they've dug their heels in, and this is the way it is, and this is who's right. And you just hear the same rhetoric over and over again. People, this is not where the answer is.
Yeah. Oh, I'll take a breath with you. I got a bunch of other callers lighting up the board. Was that the tip of the arrow?
That was, and I'd like to hear if you have any reflection on that, and then I'll let you take on another caller.
My reflection, scary is not the right word, but I read so much, and I, you know, if anyone's known me over the last 17 years on the air or see me coach soccer for 5 years. I'm one of my neuroses and one of my fascinations is fair and honest facts. It's like it's a neuroses. It's to the point where it's probably not healthy, and I like digging and turning and I've honest to goodness I say this, and I don't know why I say it. Maybe it's an arrogance or something. I hope not, but I really do read 5 to 8 hours a day. I probably read 300 articles on a slow day, and I read everywhere across the board. And I look at this, and I see the fingerprints of big banking, arms dealers, multinationals, and elites. And I don't say that like the world elite conspiracy, but there are elites. And I see the men and women on both sides of those countries just being called to patriotism, love of country, protecting family. But there's a whole nother set of puppet strings above it all. And I don't even want to pick sides. And yes, the retaliatory, you know, the addressing of the Hamas rockets, which are very small and they're firing up against Iron Dome or whatever it's called, their new super, you know, mega defense cannons that shoot everything out of the air, it's not real, but I asked that one caller, does one death, is that any less than 100 to that one person who died? So to say Palestinians suffering more and Israel less, there's a truth to that, and there's a not rightness to that on one level. But above that, my feeling is, why can't we talk about this on our news and our radio shows and our newspapers without feeling dangerous? Why can't we, if the facts are there, we should be able to talk about it without getting jumped on. We should be able to look under every rock and stone and admit cold, hard truths. And, you know, when you're talking about Hamas lobbing rockets, you need to talk about bulldozers occupying and bulldozing Palestinian neighborhoods. But then you have to talk about the rockets blowing up in Tel Aviv. And yeah, it's so complicated. So what I'm happy about today is I just decided, you know, what the heck, man, I'm going to let it rip. And this is the same conversation as the Hawaiian conversation here. I live here. I'll never feel 100% good, but yet I stumbled here as a young kid. I have a family. I feel part of it. I'll never feel okay about what happened. We broke our own constitutional rules. And, you know, it was embarrassing back when it happened. Clinton did the apology bill. But you know what? There's so much money involved. It'll never go back that way. And so if we're really smart, we keep all the Hawaiian groups fighting against each other and throw crumbs and baits here and there and hope they never realize the big game. But, you know, it's the same conversation. It's power and money and position corrupting the plebiscite, the working class, the serf. And it's been happening since the beginning of time. And we have enough technology, heart compassion, spiritual understanding or scientific atheist knowledge to get beyond this fear of lack and not enough and stop blowing each other up. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know. I'm happy we can talk about it on the air here. You know, I'm sure I'll catch flack. As I said, I've got a lot of family. I'm going to catch some flack, but so what? We got to be able to have an honest discussion first, and before even sides are picked, you got to be able to discuss things safely. That's one thing we're supposed to have in this country. So.
Yes, and the one reason I stated that fact for the discussion is not because that makes me decide which side to take, but a couple of callers ago they kept on saying fact, fact, fact. And then that part I was fine with, but then it was therefore we're right. And what I'm trying to say is anybody can come up with a fact, and they do, to say, see, I'm right. And that is not the solution to this.
Yeah.
That is not. I'm not trivializing this and saying 1,000 deaths.
It's an evolutionary advancement, and I don't think everyone's really ready for it yet. But I see it happening here on Kauai. I see it happening around. Like kids are waking up and they're starting to go, wait a minute, you know, do I want to, you know, get all these jobs and consume all this stuff to get a better job to consume more? You know, I don't know. Things are changing, but you're talking about a software upgrade to the mind.
And the conclusion I was going to come to with that last point is that the terrorists that I've named on both sides are the minority. Mm-hmm. And that's really dovetail well to what you were saying. There are many, many people in Israel who abhor this and are looking for peace. This other person kept saying, fact, the Israelis, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not a fact. The majority of people in Israel do not want this. They want peace. The majority of the Muslims are not radicals. And so that's the fact that we need to brace ourselves under and go, why is a minority polarizing people to take sides so strongly and not be able to look at the fact that, as you know, what you put so succinctly, update the hardware, update out of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and this document that's 5,000 years old. We need to upgrade beyond that.
Yeah.
And I'll let you talk to someone else.
It's thick, but anyway, it's exciting too because we're here and, you know, people are waking up.
Thank you, Carlos. Yeah. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to continue taking calls, and we do have Jazz with John. I'm going to do. You're there. If you're blinking right now, caller, so hold on for 60 seconds because I got to do a little of this, and I'll be back. But if you're already online, you're next. Don't worry.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of July 28th. There were no agendas posted on the council's website this week for either the council committee or the regular council. Therefore, I assume there will be no council meeting this week. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Kauai Coffee, 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee. grown and roasted here on the Garden Island, at retail locations island-wide on all the Hawaiian Islands, and at our estate on Highway 540 between Kalaheo and Ali'ali, where walking tours and coffee tasting are also available. More information and ordering online at kauaicoffee.com.
The Dolphin Restaurant Fish Market and Sushi Lounge in Hanalei and Poipu. Local gourmet sushi, fresh fish daily, steaks and seafood, and specialty cocktails. Dining on our lanai at the Poipu Restaurant with panoramic sunset and ocean views. The Dolphin Restaurant, Fish Market, and Sushi Lounge. Information online at thedolphinkauai.com.
And you're on the air. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
You know, I'm 62, and I basically am on the way out. And so I'm basically going to go extinct, you know, sometime within the next, you know, few decades, you know, and everybody on the planet, like all the Israelis, all the Palestinians, everybody living right now is going to eventually die, you know, and the way that, like you said, you know, since the dawn of time, people have been fighting and creating wars, you know, maybe it would be an okay thing for humans to go extinct. I mean, because it's almost like, you know, it'll never end, you know, but when the guy's praising the United States of America like it's the best place in the world, everybody's clamoring to come here for this reason or that, you know, you shouldn't compare. Comparisons are futile. You know, because America really isn't all that great. I mean, our government is so corrupt. The education is terrible. It costs a fortune to go to college. Try to get a job, a good paying job. You know, I mean, all those poor kids, those refugees from Honduras and Guatemala and stuff that cross the border, you know, what's going to happen to them? They're really actually political refugees seeking asylum. They're just going to get put in planes and shipped back. You know, that's what our great country's going to do.
Actually, you know, I don't think that's going to happen.
One last thing, you know, and I'll let you go. You know, because the United States is built on the backs of slave labor, killing the Indians, all sorts of terrible stuff, you know, laws that have imprisoned so many people that shouldn't be in jail. You know, it goes on and on, all the bad things about America, you know. And so, you know, it's not the greatest thing since mom and apple pie. There's a lot of room for improvement, that's for sure. You know, and in a small respect, I'm sitting in my room right now. I'm the master of my fate. I'm my own little government, you know. I mean, there's nobody chained to the wall getting tortured. I'm not making up any laws to imprison people. I'm not shooting off rockets from either side. You know, I'm trying to live in peace, you know, and accept the eventuality that I'm going to die. And I'm going to have to make peace with myself regardless of whatever's happening on the planet. And so that's all any of us can do, you know, except that, you know, too bad when people are caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
And by the way, almost anybody could be a terrorist these days with the U.S. government laws on terrorism. They can just pick your name out of a hat and go, oh, he's a potential terrorist.
All right.
Lock him up. 15 seconds. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it. We keep going. Go ahead, caller, and you get open, free, uncensored airwaves.
Okay, I'm Charlie Brown.
Hey, Charlie Brown.
And I'd like to ask you to, this is the first time I've heard your tagline. If you read 8 or 10 hours a day,
yeah.
I knew you were well read. But anyway, I'd like to invite you to go over to thermodynamics and help me with free energy, where you can absorb heat directly from the air and make electricity. Just move heat around arbitrarily.
I actually did do a lot of reading, and in the past couple of years, there's been a lot of breakthroughs in that field, Charlie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I ought to get your number and talk to you some more. I keep losing it.
Okay.
But I have a pen and paper.
Call the station right after the show. I'll give it to you.
Thank you. And I don't know if I... my tires have been taken out of air real quick, but I'm happy. And I hope we were able to remove a need to burn our resources of our planet for an unnecessary thermal cycle.
It's interesting. I wonder if we're just given a certain amount, 300 years of hydrocarbons, and then we got to figure it out by then, or fail, melt down, and reboot.
That's possible.
Who knows? Thank you, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
All right. Charlie Brown, great inventor we've talked a lot about. Eric, you got any, what do you think about all this?
Not too much.
It's not too much. You're a lucky man. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Carlos. Hey. You know, listening to you folks talk, I'm enjoying some of the discussion, and this is focused on the Middle East. And on a lighter note, and trying to just make it a little softer than all the people dying and all that, is I read a book called Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Great book.
By Jared Diamond.
Yeah.
Okay? And the gist of it is that the Fertile Crescent, as humans, hominids, you know, migrated out of northern Africa, they eventually settled in the Middle East, and that was called the Fertile Crescent. And that's where language, that's where the written word started, like 10,000 years ago, and civilizations and cultures together. So it's just, it's always been such an irony, even since in the 70s when all that, you know, some really heated things happening in the Middle East. But anyway, I just thought on a lighter note, some really, really interesting history, and I'm enjoying the discussion.
That's one of the best books I've ever read.
Isn't that unreal?
Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Wow.
And it just, the impact of guns, of germs, of metal production, and is amazing stuff. Another interesting one, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I always recommend in the same breath, because it just... Nice. Some good stuff. Thank you, caller. That's a great book.
Yeah, really. I enjoy it. So take care and aloha, Carlos.
All right. Aloha.
Bye.
So, boy, coming up next, Jazz with John, a little brain salve for all of us. But, you know, I think having a radio station like KKCR and being able to just open it up and not going through the Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Ed Schultz on the left or MSNBC, but... It's really uncensored, and I just encourage you guys to call in and just share. I think that's kind of how we get software upgrades. Wetware, I think, is what it's called when it's biological, wetware upgrades. But at least we have uncensored media to a large part. We have a lot of commercially owned media, and it really, I did read today, I don't know if you probably read that too, Eric, because you read a lot too on the news, but six companies own 90% of every print, word, newspaper, radio station, TV station. Six companies own 90%. They're also deeply involved in military production, nuclear energy, etc. So you can understand when you have that type of power and control and scope, you're going to want to influence the discussion to benefit your interest in anyway.
Yep, definitely not surprised. That's why you got to love radio stations like this, where we can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And nothing's paid for.
So anyway, I don't know. I think there's another level coming up, and you know, I know the one caller that called up and was a Marine and was talking about the U.S. And I'll tell you, he's one of the best men I know. He's a pure-hearted, good man, and he comes from that patriotic perspective. And there are warriors out there, and there are priests, and then there's a lot of us worker bees in the middle. And I don't know. I think it's time to head up to the next level. I don't know. I think we got time for one or two more calls. But go ahead. You're on the air. You might be our last call.
What an honor.
Well, <it's, laughs> it is what it is. I don't know about that, but what's on your mind?
Oh, all sorts of things. A couple scattered thoughts I'll throw at you.
Okay.
The whole Israel-Palestine thing that's going on right now, it seems like just kind of the next step. You know, like the last time they did it, they got away with murder. No one really...
Who are they?
Much about it.
Who are they?
The Israelis.
Okay.
And it seems like they're just like seeing how much they can get away with, and it seems like most of the world is like, yeah, okay, you can do that. So the whole idea of reciprocity is like, sure, I personally think that, you know, the moral high ground for the Palestinians would be not to lob rockets. But obviously, as we've said, you know, it's a minority that are actually lobbing these rockets, and they're highly ineffective anyway. And then the other thing to consider, and I'll just throw this in there for all your conspiracy theorists, because it definitely occurred to me, is like, you know, what a great way to spark a bloodbath is to just get some rockets going. You know, the concept of Agent Provocateur.
Right.
I really wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think it's necessarily true, but it's a possibility.
I'm just amazed at people on any side of the issue, any side, Israeli, Palestine, 9/11 truthers, when I hear them say, well, I heard on the media, and that's their truth. Yeah. And it's like, really? Okay. You awesome consumer, you. But
it's a double-edged sword. The the internet, the media, all this, we're constantly inundated with third-party information. And, you know, basically, when it comes down to most people choose to believe the sources that back up their own
agenda,
ideology, and their own existing beliefs.
Yeah, well put. Well put.
So, you know, I'll just, on the Israel-Palestine thing, kind of, for me, it comes down to, if you're using white phosphorus, if you're using flechette rounds on civilians, I mean, A, these things aren't even really kosher in the first place, but I don't see how you can paint this as self-defense when it's like overwhelming force, and basically they're saying, you know, they've been quoted as saying that every attack or every strike that we launch hits its intended target, so you can only surmise that their intended targets are largely civilians.
Hmm. Well, we're going to have to pick this up next Tuesday. We're kind of out of time right now.
Just one other thing that went off for me. We were talking about the Fertile Crescent as the kind of the birthplace of civilization. Well, if you look at the state that lands in now, it really shows you what civilization and agriculture will do to a fertile place.
Touche. That's a great closing. That's a great closer. Thank you, caller. And why don't you be my first call next Tuesday? That's good stuff. Eric, thank you so much. We got Jazz with John, a little station stuff first, and I'm going to leave you a little music, and we'll be back next Tuesday.
Have a great week, everyone. See you next time.
High Realty in Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell banker Balihai Realty also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihai.com or by calling 826-7244.
Aya's Garden All-Natural Garden and Greenhouse Supply in Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments. Built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy. Whether you're a true beginner or ukulele master, there's a tailored Kamoa experience for you. From student models up to custom masterpieces, Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR. More information at 652-9999 or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com. Tiki Iniki is now open for lunch, happy hour, dinner, and late night dining, 11:30 a.m. to midnight. In the Princeville Center, Tiki Iniki, farm and boat to table fine dining in a wild setting. For reservations, 431-4242.
Hey, we're out of time. Jazz with John next. I want to encourage you to continue the conversation even with me. I don't care what side you're on. My number is 635-9382. Feel free to call me up. Share your side of the stuff. If I'm busy, I'll come up with a better time, but we'll see you next week. Feel free to call me anytime if you got a story or a topic you want covered. Jazz with John is next, and you're listening to listener-supported, community-supported KKCR.